Our Bible reading today is found in Acts chapter 1, and it's found on page 1237 in the Bibles in front of you. And we're reading the whole chapter. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Therefore it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must be a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of God.
So as we come to look into this passage from the book of Acts more, let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and all that you have recorded in it. Lord, please help us at this time to think deeply on what you're saying to us through your word. Help us to put it into practice in our lives, the things that you command us, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the next little while here at Reservoir, we're going to be looking through the book of Acts together. And we're beginning with chapter 1, the whole of chapter 1 here today. And When you think about it, Acts is an important book in the Bible, isn't it? Like, if Acts wasn't there, anyone reading the Bible, they'd find Christianity going from just after Jesus' death and resurrection, as described in the Gospel accounts, and then suddenly it would jump to Rome with the book of Romans, with the opening verse saying, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus and an apostle. And you'd be thinking, wait, who's this guy Paul now who's writing this letter of Romans? And why is he writing to those in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire? Like, something's really been missed here. I mean, it's like when you're watching a movie at home and you get up to go to the bathroom or to make a cup of tea or something, and then when you come back and sit down, you realize that you have no idea what's happening anymore in the movie. And you're thinking, well, wait, who's that guy? And why are they there now? No, something's been missed. And that's because in the Bible, the book of Acts describes the early days of the Christian church. So from just after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, as the good news about Jesus spread successfully from Jerusalem out into the world, with many people being saved and the church growing daily in number. But then likewise, within the book of Acts, chapter 1 is also important, because that links between Jesus' appearances after his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which starts in Acts chapter 2. But we know that Acts was written by Luke, the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so Acts is kind of like part 2 of Luke's Gospel. It picks up where Luke's Gospel left off following Jesus' resurrection and then continues on. And at the end of Luke's Gospel, Jesus told his disciples in chapter 24, verse 49 of Luke, saying, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is coming. So in essence, here in Acts chapter 1, the apostles were waiting for the Holy Spirit to arrive. The opening verses of this chapter, they repeat Jesus' words from Luke's Gospel, saying, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, he says here in verse 4. And so that's what they did. They waited for the Holy Spirit. And between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension into heaven, we're told was 40 days. And then it was apparently another 10 days before the day of Pentecost, when we know that the Holy Spirit came. So what went on during that period of 50 days? What were the apostles doing while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit? I mean, do you think they'd have sat around with their feet up playing cards or something, saying, well, Jesus told us that we're to wait, so we'll just wait. We'll stop everything and just sit and wait. Well, if you look into the Bible, it actually tells us in this chapter what they were doing. And from this chapter, I think we can essentially see three key things that the apostles did during this time of waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And that's that while waiting for the Holy Spirit, the apostles, they spent time with Jesus, and then they spent time in prayer, and as well they spent time in preparation. And we're going to look into these three things today. And so the first thing then that we read that the apostles did while waiting for the Holy Spirit is that they spent time with Jesus. So verse 3 here mentions that Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. The first 11 verses here are actually a bit of a recap of the end of Luke's Gospel, which makes sense when you think of Acts being a part 2 of Luke's Gospel. And so during these 40 days, when Jesus appeared to his apostles and was with them, there's something important that he did with them while they spent time with him. And that's that he taught them. You know, they learned from him. Firstly, we're told in verse 3 that after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And what Jesus did here was really important, because he showed and proved and taught to his apostles that he was a risen Lord. He was truly risen from the dead. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't some sort of hallucination. He wasn't a spirit. He was alive and there with them in person. And being alive and well before them was proof that Jesus had successfully paid the price for our sins. He died on the cross, taking on our sins, and then he was resurrected from the dead, confirming that his sacrifice was enough. If it hadn't been enough, there would have been no resurrection. And if Jesus hadn't have been there alive and well with his apostles, then there would have been no good news to proclaim either. The good news that for those who turn from their sins and believe in Jesus, their sins will be forgiven by God, and they'll gain eternal life together with God. But he was there with them. He was and is alive. He had risen. And that good news, that gospel of Jesus Christ, needed to be proclaimed to the world. And so not only did Jesus teach his apostles that he was truly a risen Lord, he taught and instructed them about further things as well. For instance, in verse 2 it says that he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And this mention here of the Holy Spirit, it states a central theme in the book of Acts. It's through the Holy Spirit that Christian work takes place. If the Holy Spirit's not involved, then our work is pretty much useless. And as part of these instructions, we're told in verse 3 that Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And verse 4 or so that I mentioned earlier says that he commanded them to remain in Jerusalem until they received the promised Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, Jesus, he commissioned his apostles to be his witnesses, taking the gospel to the world, where he said to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus' teaching here was preparing his apostles for what was to come. They were to be his witnesses, telling people the good news about what Jesus had done, telling people about the forgiveness of sins for those who are repentant, who believed in Jesus. And so they needed to be taught well about Jesus, about the kingdom of God, to be sure that they were proclaiming the right message. But also they weren't just going to be doing these things under their own strength so either. They still had to wait for the Holy Spirit, who would give them the power to be able to spread the gospel well. It's like most things we do in our lives. So in order to do certain things, we often require training. We need to be taught. We can't just go out and do whatever we like without any sort of training. You know, we go through up to 12 years of schooling to be properly trained to live and work and participate in our society. You know, even to be able to drive a car, we need the proper training. You can't just jump in a car and off you go. Like, you have to be trained and get a driver's license so you can then drive. And what the apostles were about to do was far more important than driving a car. Like, through them, by the Holy Spirit, God was going to spread the good news about Jesus throughout the world. So they needed to really know what they were saying. They needed to really know about Jesus. And so Jesus spent time with them, teaching them, as well as all the teaching that he gave them throughout the Gospels. And when we begin to look into what the apostles were doing here in Acts chapter 1, it really makes us consider how we use our time also, I think, whether we're waiting for something or not. Like verses 1 to 11 here states that while waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, the apostles spent time with Jesus, being taught by him about himself, as well as about what Jesus expected of them in times ahead. But what about us? Because we too have a similar obligation to the apostles here. Like, we're commanded to go and make disciples of all nations. And so I think we should be asking ourselves, when we read passages like this, how much time do I spend with Jesus? How much time do I spend reading the Bible and learning about who God is, who Jesus is, and what He's done, and what He's doing still? Being taught by the Holy Spirit as we read God's Word. Because if we're not well taught about Jesus, then we're pretty much ineffective when it comes to spreading the good news about Jesus throughout the world. Because people will ask us, who is this Jesus you speak of? And why do you Christians believe that you have the truth about God? Essentially, whether we're in a time of waiting or not, we need to know about Jesus to be able to answer these questions well, to be able to witness to Him well. And so we need to be learning, spending time with Jesus, reading the Bible about what He said and did. But then moving on to verses 12 to 14, the second key thing I think we can see that the apostles did while they're waiting for the Holy Spirit is that they spent time together in prayer. Verse 14 here states that they all joined together constantly in prayer. That's all the apostles, plus all the women who were there, plus Mary, Jesus' mother, plus Jesus' brothers too. Like, spending time in prayer is important. You know, God wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to pour our hearts out to Him, as the writers of the Psalms do in the Old Testament. And throughout the New Testament also, we're exhorted and encouraged to pray. I consider just a couple of examples. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 states, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 also says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And when we pray to God, we're communicating with Him. We're spending time with Him. Like, we're meant to be in relationship with Him. So we should be spending time with God. And also praying to God, it helps us to align ourselves with His thinking. It helps our hearts to be in line with His will for our lives. So, I mean, if you're frustrated and annoyed with somebody, if somebody's hurt you or something like that, if you're praying for them, it's very hard to stay angry with them or frustrated with them. So our hearts align more with God's thinking. And it's not just praying by ourselves either, although we should be doing that, but we should also be praying with others together as God's people, as with the example here of the apostles. Like, they didn't just pray alone. They didn't just pray together as apostles. Now, they prayed together with all who that were with them, the whole community of believers, together in prayer. And a good example of the importance of prayer like this, consider the story of a man called Jeremiah Lamphere. And he was a businessman who lived in New York during the 1850s, so over 100 years ago, at a time when apparently America was spiritually weak and too interested in material things. Which sounds awfully familiar, like probably both to Americans and to us here today. Now, this man, Jeremiah Lamphere, he felt led to start having a regular prayer meeting in New York in 1857 for 1 hour a week during lunchtime. Others could come along and attend for any length of time as they wished. Well, on the first week that he held his prayer meeting, he was by himself for half an hour. But then six others joined him for the remaining time. Then the second week, 20 people came. And then the week after that, 40 people came. And so they decided to start meeting daily in prayer. And the numbers grew to over 100 people. And ministers who had come along to pray, they decided to start their own prayer meetings too, in their own churches. And so prayer meetings began to be held all across America. And after 6 months, more than 10,000 were meeting in prayer just in New York. From this time of prayer, what we know now as the Great Awakening happened in North America, where from 1857 to 1859, about 2 million people turned to Christ. And this example shows us that prayer is important. Our God works through prayer. Persistent prayer together with other believers is important. The apostles are waiting for the Holy Spirit, and so they prayed together, constantly, all together with other believers while they were waiting. And so again, for us, we need to ask ourselves the question, how are we using our time? Do we spend time in continual, persistent prayer like the apostles did here in these verses? I don't mean spending every minute of every day in prayer, but spending regular, committed time with God in prayer. Is this true of our lives? Because our God wants us to pray to Him, to pour out our hearts to Him, and He does listen to and answer our prayers. Sometimes His answer might be yes to our prayers. Sometimes His answer might be no to our prayers. And sometimes His answer might be not yet. But He does answer them. So I encourage you to set apart a time each day for prayer with God and guard that time so it doesn't get taken up with other things. And talk with other people about joining together in prayer and join the church's prayer meetings. And let's make sure that we're spending time in prayer, regularly in prayer with our God, by ourselves as well as together with other believers, and so have a proper relationship with God where we're sharing our lives with Him. And then continuing on, I believe we find a third key thing that the apostles did while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned about in verses 15 to 26. And that's that they spent time in preparation. And really, when you think about it, everything that they did in this first chapter is to do with preparation. But specifically in this section, it mentions about that after Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus and then died, there are only 11 apostles left instead of 12. So we're told that Peter stood up among the believers, about 120 people at that time, and spoke about this matter. He told them that Judas's betrayal was predicted in Scripture, as spoken through the Holy Spirit, through King David, as written in one of the Psalms, Psalm 69 verse 25, where it says, "May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it." Not only that though, but Scripture also stated that Judas was to be replaced. In Psalm 109 verse 8, "May another take his place of leadership." So while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, the apostles set about choosing a replacement for Judas. In obedience to Scripture, they spent time in preparation, in other words, preparing well for what was to come. And in choosing a replacement for Judas, this criteria was very specific. The person who replaced Judas had to have been among Jesus' disciples from the time of John's baptism. That's John's baptism of Jesus. So from the time of John's baptism to the time of Jesus' recent ascension into heaven. That is, this person had to have been a witness of all that Jesus had done. Earlier here in Acts, in verse 8 of chapter 1, Jesus commissioned his apostles, stating they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth, which is really a central verse in this whole book of Acts, which explains what this whole book is all about. Jesus' apostles, via the Holy Spirit's power, witnessing to Jesus from the immediate area and then continuing out into the world. So it was really important that Judas's replacement as an apostle was a witness to all that Jesus had done. And there are actually two men who fulfilled the criteria, Joseph and Matthias. And so after spending time in prayer, again, they spent time in prayer and casting lots, Matthias was selected, becoming the 12th apostle. So after having spent time with Jesus until his ascension into heaven, seeing evidence that he was alive and learning from him, while continuing to pray together and spending time in preparation, all was now set for the coming of the Holy Spirit. which was soon to happen, as Jesus had promised, and that we'll hear more about next Sunday when we look at Acts chapter 2. But just coming back to preparation, like preparation is really important, I think. I mean, it's like if you're running a restaurant, for example. Like before any customers arrive, you don't just sit reading the newspaper, waiting for somebody to come through the door. No, you spend time, a lot of time, in preparation. Food needs to be bought and prepared. Tables need to be set with knives and forks and plates. The staff need to know what they're doing and be organized and know what the menu is. No, that's all preparation. So let me encourage us all again to think about our lives, whether we're in a period of waiting for anything or even if we're not. And again, just think about how we're using our time as we go about our day-to-day lives. Like, is there any preparation that we could be doing? Like, especially thinking back to what we've been talking about with this example of the apostles, because a big amount of preparation that we can do in our lives as Christians involves spending time with Jesus, reading the Bible and spending time in prayer to God, just like the apostles were doing here. So basically, we should be in continual preparation doing these things in order to be good witnesses of Christ ourselves, because you never know when somebody's going to ask you about Jesus or when you have a good opportunity to share the gospel or to defend your faith. And also, you might be sitting here thinking that these applications in this sermon are pretty simple, pretty simplistic and pretty obvious. But really, they're foundational for anything that we do as Christians. And I'm sure many of us would agree that they're not that easy to consistently do well. Like, our busy lives continually try and grab away any time that we have for God. Yet we need to remember that for the apostles, this example that we have of the apostles of Jesus Christ, they did these simple things of spending time with Jesus, spending time in prayer, spending time in preparation, and God then used them to take the gospel to the world. So why would we think that we need any more complex or more impressive or better applications or things that we should be doing with our lives and our time? And also, just before we finish, there's just one further thing I'd like to speak about from this chapter, and that's specifically regarding waiting. Because the apostles are waiting for 50 days from Jesus' resurrection before the Holy Spirit arrived. That's almost a month and a half. After Jesus' resurrection, things just seem to pause. But it wasn't wasted time. I mean, consider what would have happened if the Holy Spirit had have come straight after Jesus' resurrection, the very next day. But the apostles had probably been pretty confused, thinking, well, what's going on now? You know, was that Jesus we just saw resurrected from the dead? Where's he gone? Is he actually resurrected? And now why is everyone speaking in different languages as the Holy Spirit's come? Now, the apostles, they needed time to prepare after Jesus' resurrection. They needed to be taught further by Jesus. They needed to spend time in prayer together. They needed to be prepared for what was to come. And so they needed to wait. God made them wait. But do you think that meant that God was inactive during that time? Or that time they spent was a waste of time? Because waiting can be difficult, can't it? It can feel like a waste. It can feel like God isn't doing anything. I know that some of you here are waiting for visas. With my family, we've been through similar experiences, probably not the same situation as many of you, but we've had to wait for visas going to and from different countries. Now, it's not fun waiting for visas. You know, some of you might be sick and waiting for good health. You know, it's difficult waiting for health to be restored and going through medical procedures. I mean, also for my family at the moment, we've been back from the mission field for 2 years now, and we're still waiting to go back, and it'll be another year or more before we get back overseas, back to where we believe God's calling us. You know, it's difficult having to wait for different things in your lives. But as we find ourselves in situations of waiting, as we invariably will at various stages of our lives, like, we need to trust that in our times of waiting, as with the apostles' time of waiting here in Acts chapter 1, that our God is not inactive. And that those times of waiting are not wastes of time. Think about how God's preparing you. Think about how you can be preparing during any times of waiting. And to conclude then, the apostles made good use of the time between Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was a time of further learning for them, as well as a time of prayer and preparation. And as a result, God was able to use them well when the Holy Spirit came. So for us as Christians, we too need to make sure that we're making good use of our time, reading our Bibles and learning about Jesus, learning about God, praying together to God, being in relationship with Him, being well prepared, and so able to also be used well by God for anything that He may call us to. Let's just finish in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this book of Acts that we have that tells us about the early church and about how You were at work through Your Holy Spirit in the lives of Your people and as Your gospel spread forth throughout the world. Lord, as we read through this book of Acts and hear this book of Acts preached to us here, Lord, help us to reflect on our lives and think about what it means for us as Christians living today, about how we can apply it, Lord, and particularly this chapter, how we can focus on spending time with You in reading Your Word and in prayer with You in preparation for anything that You may lead us to in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.